accession number 18727, Reel 8.
Right, we're on to, this is OB8, Owen Butcher 8. Owen, we were then talking about Reichwald and going through the Reichwald. Which company were you attached to at that stage during the Reichwald?
During the Reichwald, HQ Company.
HQ Company.
Yeah.
Because up until now, you'd been attached to...
To the rifle companies.
All the way through.
Yeah.
So why would you now be with HQ Company in the Reichwald?
Well, while the rifle companies were moving forward, like, you know, and but if it had been so that, I mean, somebody just said, Sergeant Bate would have said, two of you go with so-and-so company, you know, you go.
Yeah.
But so we stayed with HQ Company.
Yeah. Because I mean,
because there was Battalion HQ there as well, like the CO, and he had to be protected and whatever. So that was always a sniper's job to protect, like Battalion HQ. And yeah.
If you weren't out at the sharp end, you know, looking and looking for people at the sharp end, you were back helping to defend.
That's right.
HQ,
that's correct. Okay. Yeah.
And so that's what happened all the way through.
All the way through the forest.
So luckily, it was luck, because there was a lot of hard fighting in that forest.
There was.
Luckily, you were saved some of that.
Yeah.
Because of that
and what we were.
But that fighting in the forest went on for about 5 days.
That's right. Yeah, cause started on the 8th.
Yeah.
13th.
About the 13th, yeah. Wasn't it? So what happened after the Reichwald, after that time? What did you...
Well, we moved back into Nijmegen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. For about 3 days.
Yeah.
And then we moved on from there. We moved into a place called Gok.
Yes.
Gok. Already been taken, but 15 Scottish, I think.
Yes. Did you say earlier that you... Because your trip to the Reichwald hadn't finished, has it? Because did you say earlier to me that you went back into the Reichwald?
Yeah, went back into the Reichwald.
What was that for?
I went back into the Reichwald with a padre and a colour sergeant, Seeker MS. So they removed the bodies from the Reichwald with a 3-ton lorry.
When you say remove the bodies, that's the British
the
Army
British,
bodies.
Yeah, to pick them up of the... Of the Eastlings.
Oh, just the Eastlings?
Just the Eastlings, yeah. Because in our sector there was only the Eastlings.
Right.
In our action.
And how many people would you say that you helped remove then during that time?
I don't know. I can't tell you. Maybe about 20, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a question of picking them up and... getting them, you know, on a 3-ton lorry.
I mean, you'd seen a lot of action up to now, and you'd seen a lot of dead soldiers and killed dead both sides.
That's
English,
right,
and German,
yeah.
And Americans probably as well. But that's very personal when you've got to do that, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't particularly keen, although I didn't have any choice. I mean, you do as you're told.
You see, up and, you know, walking through a battlefield, you see dead bodies, you walk past it.
Yeah.
But to do that, to stop, almost, you don't want to observe, do you? But you have to, because you've got to pick these people up.
You're just wandering around, see? The lorry's parked on the track. You're just wandering around, looking where you think different companies were, and where people are going to be lying.
Well, you must have seen some awful sights then at that stage.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the casualties at that point had been through shells and what have you, bursting in the trees, like, you know.
So it's just bodies, hit by shells, just taken apart, really.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there was complete bodies, or sometimes there was parts of bodies.
Mm.
But it wasn't the best of jobs.
No. And then they were taken off for burial.
Taken off.
And hopefully, you know, the right bodies were buried in the right grave.
In the right place. That's something you don't know.
Isn't it?
Yeah, you just don't know.
How did you try to make sure that it was right?
Well, you try to match up with whatever was what. That was right. But in the Reichswald, there was none so serious that you couldn't recognise.
Right,
okay. You know,
yeah.
In what state they were.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Okay, so yes, that would have been a gruesome job and not one that people would like to do. Really.
No, it's not a very nice job. I think today you want counselling and might even want compensation.
They would. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you must have woken up afterwards or these thoughts must have been going
through. Yeah, you think, what have I been doing, you know?
Yeah. Must be.
Yeah.
So then you're out of the forest, it's middle of February, and you've just gone a bit of rest and relaxation, and you've come back, town of Gok, you said.
Town of Gok.
Yeah.
Yeah, very badly.
It was bombed, was it?
Bombed, had been shouldered, and everything else.
But did you have any fighting in Gok?
No, in Marchstra. Yeah, there was another town quite close where we went through as well, which had been taken by the 15th Scottish, and that was Cleves.
Yes.
Gok and Cleves.
Now, you mentioned the Siegfried Line, and these towns, I think, were two towns that were very well defended on the Siegfried
Line.
That's right. Again, weren't they?
That's what they were, yeah.
Yeah. But they'd been taken, so the fighting had been done, really, when you got there.
Yeah, that's right.
But you went down to where from there?
Well, we started to move forward from there.
To?
Well, on the way to Geldern.
Right.
Yeah.
Geldern.
That was where we linked up with the Americans.
Oh, yeah. What can you remember of that, or what happened then?
Well, I can't really. There was a lot of going forward.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of going forward. And there was the odd pockets of resistance, like, you know. Because the Americans had cleaned a lot of it up around in that area.
Mm. Because, now, just to re-emphasise it again, you're in Germany now, aren't you?
That's right.
And what about the civilians? How are they reacting?
We didn't see many civilians at all. We see the occasional ones, like, you know. Especially in the farming areas, you know, if there's farming areas in the big towns, I think they went out into the countryside, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, you've had a different reaction all the way through France, then the Low Countries, now you're in Germany.
Yeah.
Up until now, presumably, you've had a fairly good reaction wherever you've been. But now, everybody, presumably, is hostile.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's right, that's correct.
Yeah.
And so how are they going to react?
Doesn't that make your job much harder now, from now on?
Yeah, but for myself personally, I didn't think of it in that way, because, I mean, if you're in France, if you're in Holland, and who's your friend or who's not your friend? I mean, there was collaborators in France, collaborators in Holland.
Yeah.
So, who do you trust?
No, I'm sure that's right. So you're going down towards Geldern.
That's right.
And the Americans, you met the Americans coming up from the south there, as you were coming down from the north, because you were, you were trying to clear all these, whatever German resistance there was, on that side of the Rhine, crossing the Rhine, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's what this whole thing was about here, wasn't
it? And after we reached and went teamed up with the Americans, like, we just moved on.
Yes.
And what happened then was, because we'd reached the Rhine, we moved back into Belgium again.
Okay.
We moved back into Belgium for a couple of weeks' rest.
Yeah. Yes, you finished up, I think, you went through Geldern to a place called Pottershof, a village called Pottershof.
Yeah.
which was just a scattered houses around, but that was pretty much the end then. You cleared them all out outside the Rhine, and you went back for rest and relaxation to Brussels.
Yeah, just outside a place. Well, we went back into a place called Terrafine.
Is that on the edge of Brussels?
Or? About 7 or 8 kilometres from Brussels, that was. Whether it still exists, I don't know.
Yeah.
And we was put into private billets then. And Eddie Garlick and I were put in a billet there with like an old farmhouse. She'd got two daughters.
And you were two young boys?
Two young boys. She was an old lady. She put a palliasse of straw up in the attic for us, like, you know. And, of course, in Belgium at that time of day, there was no doors on the toilets or nothing.
Yeah.
So...
not much privacy.
Not much privacy, is true. But there was a cafe. There was a cafe in this little place. And Eddie and I went in there, and they gave us some different kinds of drink, plied us with drink in here. The object was they wanted some stuff. They wanted blankets and that. Like, that's what they was interested in. They plied us with drink, but they didn't get any blankets. And anyhow, Eddie started singing in here, like, you know, and that was the first day. The next day, we was told by Sergeant Bate that there was going to be inspection outside, you know, for smart cells. And there was going to be arms drill and all this stuff. We didn't think that was for us. So first light in the morning, we went down this cafe again. And we was in there, sitting in the cafe, and we could see Sergeant Bate looking for us to get us out on parade, but he didn't find us.
You made sure he didn't find you?
He didn't find us, no.
So what was your excuse in the end when he said I was looking for you?
We told him we didn't feel very well, like, you know, and that seemed to work.
Yeah, oh, that was, so you got away with that one.
We got away with it, yeah. We had to show ourselves in the end.
Yeah. But what were the people like that you stayed with there in that house? They were very friendly towards
you? Well, there was only just like this old lady with these two daughters.
Yeah, but she was okay. And
yeah, and in the actual village they were very friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to contact them a few years ago. I don't know whether the village still exists.
Well, maybe, I guess the village would still be there, but she wouldn't be there, would she?
No, she wouldn't, no.
But the daughters would be there, presumably.
I had a couple of names and addresses, like, you know.
Mm.
I had the letter, actual letter come back. And
oh, what, not known or
not
something?
Not known, you know, that effect.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know what their surname was?
The name of the paper at the cafe was De Roos.
Yeah, but you know the family's name?
That was De Roos.
Oh, it was their name?
Yeah, De Roos.
Yeah. I suppose there are ways that you could do it, but the chances are finding them now, it's all that.
Yeah,
time.
It's a long time ago, actually.
Long time ago.
55 years.
Yeah.
54 years.
Yeah. So Brussels. So you had to come to some time in Brussels. Now, this must have been prior to the crossing of the Rhine.
Yeah, that was. It was back into Germany.
Yeah.
Well, we waited in a staging area to cross the Rhine.
Yeah. Do you remember where you crossed the Rhine, or what happened there, or what it was like? Anticipations of what it was going to be like?
Well, we knew the main crossing wasn't going to be by the 53rd Welsh Div. I think it was to be with the 51st Highland Div.
Mm.
Apart from the airborne troops.
You saw the airborne troops?
That's right,
over.
Yeah, because it was the 22nd of March, I think.
Yeah.
About 22nd, 23rd of March.
Mm.
Beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. It was one of them situations.
Mm.
And the 51st Highland Div were making a river crossing, I think.
Mm.
And, of course, we was waiting. I'm trying to find out where we was waiting.
Well, you crossed the Rhine up toward a place called Weinen, didn't you?
Yeah.
North of Wesel.
Yeah, that's right. And there was a road junction with a bridge which was heavily defended there, which we had to take with SP guns.
And well, after you'd crossed the Rhine, was
after
this?
We crossed the Rhine, yeah. And shortly after then, shortly after then, that was when Sergeant Major Montgomery.
Now that's the chap I was talking about, that's buried in the Reichswald.
Yeah.
Montgomery, the boxer from India that Bob Atkinson was talking about. Yeah.
And he was the company Sergeant Major when Major Setfrey got wounded.
Right.
Same time.
Okay.
So that was when your relation was. Your uncle was.
No, later than that.
Later than that?
In Germany. Well, I'll tell you when that was, but that was later on.
That was later on.
Yes. This, where you're at now in your story here, is your. This is when Setri, your A Company commander,
yeah.
Joe Setri, Major Setri at that stage, was injured at Bocholt.
Yeah.
Or on the outskirts of Bocholt.
On the outskirts.
But you, and this is when you say Montgomery, the sergeant, was in at the same time.
Sergeant, yeah, company sergeant major.
But you remember that, don't you?
I remember that, being wounded, yeah.
So what were the events of that happening? What happened on that day?
Well, I can't remember what happened that day.
Mm.
But I can just remember that somebody said Major Setri's been wounded, like, you know, and Monty's been killed, you know.
Yeah.
And then I saw Major Setri, he'd been picked up then, like, you know.
Yeah.
He'd been moved off of something onto a stretcher, like, you know. But that's all I can remember, Bob.
So how did he get injured and Montgomery get killed? What was it?
I don't know whether it was a mortar or whether it was a shell.
But one of the two?
One of the two,
yeah.
Yeah. I should say that from how Major Setri is now, that was something like that in opposed to being bullet wounds.
Would you like to explain how Major Setri is now?
Well, I've spoken to Major Setri, and I should probably speak to him in a few weeks' time.
Mm.
And he still has problems with his leg, and he still has to have dressings. And as we know, he has problems with his other leg as well, which is caused by his other one, by wear and tear.
Because he walks on two sticks, doesn't
he? Two sticks now. He has been advised to have a knee replacement for his other leg, but I think his specialist has advised him not because of his problem with his other one, which is going to be continuous. And perhaps he's out of the leg with the arthritic condition. Perhaps that won't be successful anyhow.
Yeah.
And then he wouldn't be able to get about at all.
Yeah. But there was quite a lot of fighting, wasn't there, on the way up? And I think we missed some, actually, just prior, going back, prior to crossing the Rhine. There was some bad fighting there, just after Geldern.
Just after Geldern.
Around St. David's Day, which would be March 1st, something like that. But there was some paratroopers on a bridge somewhere there.
Yeah, perhaps that was the bridge in question.
It could be that you were thinking about there.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps that was a bridge in question.
But you remember some tough and hard fighting around this bridge?
Around this bridge, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's only a small bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we went over, when I went over with Bob Atkinson, we tried to find, I think it was called Schadendorf or something,
yeah,
bridge.
Yeah, tried to find it.
Tried to find, couldn't, because it could have been anywhere, really.
Yeah.
We knew it crossed the river, obviously, somewhere, yeah, but we just couldn't find.
Things changed so much,
right? You know.
See, I've, when I go to Holland, I've got this picture in my mind of how things were, say, yeah, so long ago, and you go there, and that's completely different.
Of course, yeah, there only was a few trees to grow.
That's right,
it?
Yeah.
It changes.
And we go back to Holland every year, you know, every year.
Mm. Well, so now Joe Setri has been injured. You're at,
yeah,
Bocholt is getting on a bit now in the war because you're up to March sometime, aren't you?
Yeah, so.
Probably about the third, fourth week of March.
That's right, yeah.
That time. And then what's happening? So, as we ultimately know, it's getting toward the end of the war, so the Germans must be collapsing all around you.
That's right.
Yeah. But is there much fighting going on, or what's the?
Well, we move up to what they call a river R, two A's.
Mm.
And there was several spandos on the bank, and that was a bit that's a bit iffy there. And I went with Sergeant Bate and Eddie Garlick and the artillery officer, and he tried to sort them out, which he did, you know, with artillery. But a lot of the Germans were starting to pull back again then.
Yes.
Moving back.
Were they pulling back to anywhere in particular, or just...
They just didn't seem to know where they were going.
No.
You know.
No. No, because it was speeding up here, wasn't it? Because around this time, you were almost getting back into trucks again, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Did you remember being around a place called Osnabrück at that stage?
No, not at that stage.
Oh, that's
Osnabrück,
stage.
I don't think we ever went there.
Right, okay.
I don't think the battalion ever went there.
Okay.
But we were switching forward between the German and the Dutch border at that point, down here. And there was a place where, I think it was called Glanenbrook.
Yeah.
Glanenbrook.
Yeah.
And that was liberated, and we saw them shaving the heads of some of the collaborating women in there.
Oh, the Dutch collaborators.
In the town, some of the girls. They got them in the street, like, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, I could do with some of that now.
Well, some of the hair now.
Yeah, some of the hair, but...
Well, let's have a look, because the tape can't see, but you're about seven parts no hair, aren't you?
That's right.
We'll say six parts.
Yeah, but I'm honest.
So Dutch-German border around that time, but Bocholt, in fact, was a bit later, probably.
A bit later.
Because you've gone back to Dutch-German border prior to that.
Yeah, he's moving back, so for, you know, different sectors and whatever.
That's right.
And then the next thing that I can recollect, Bob, is... The move onto Gronau in Germany, a night attack on
Gronau, yes.
Gronau,
yes.
And that was done by the aid of Monty's moonlight, you know, artificial.
Like, where they crossed. What happens there?
Where they cross the searchlights, like, you know, that was done with that.
They fire the searchlights up into the clouds, do they?
They put the searchlights up, and then they cross the searchlights over the objective, like, you know, for direction purposes. And that attack was with the aid of that, like, you know, which was quite a biggish place, but that was a night attack.
Yeah. And where were you attached to then?
I was attached to C Company, a forward company. Yeah.
Forward company.
Yeah. And we was going up the side of the main road into Gronau, like, you know, on either side of the road. And on the way into Gronau, there wasn't much opposition.
That's a German village, isn't it?
Yeah, German. Mm. Yeah, Gronau.
Yeah, and no opposition going up?
Going up. But there was a few Germans in the actual town. Mm. Yeah, and I forget what the platoon officer was I was with the C Company, I forget his name. But he said to me, he said, when we got up into the town, there was this big building that was similar to an office or a town hall building. There was some steps at the top. He said to me, he said, you can go down there, see if there's anybody down there. Well, I could smell cigarette smoke. I'd only taken one step down the stairs.
Yeah.
I smelled cigarette smoke. So I thought, well, I can't very well turn back. I've got to keep going. But anyhow, I got down to the bottom of the stairs, because there was complete darkness in the cellar. But there was nobody down there, but there'd been somebody down there quite recently. Yeah.
Cigarette smoke?
Very, very recent. Mm. Because, you know, not only could you smell it, you could see it.
Right.
And I didn't have no, there was no light or nothing, that was pitch dark. And, I was sniffing around there for a little while, keeping well down.
Yeah, and hoping you didn't find anybody.
I didn't find them. You go down a cellar in the dark, and you don't know whether there's anybody down there or not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so I came back and I told him that nobody down there, sir.
And it wasn't.
I could have added, I don't think.
Yeah, that's right. As far as you could see, there wasn't anybody.
There was nobody down there.
Yeah. And but there was some fighting later on in that village, was there? You said there was initially there wasn't very much.
No, and there wasn't much on the outskirts either.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long after then that we embussed again on TCPs.
Well, now, because now you were going towards, well, into the heart of Germany, weren't you, really?
That's right, yeah.
And you were going towards the river crossings.
That's right, yeah. We moved on to a place called Rottenburg, Rotterburg or something, in these TCVs.
Yeah.
And we was moving into the area there where there's these officer cadets, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, fanatics.
Do you remember crossing the rivers there, though? Because there were two main rivers, weren't there?
There was the Atlas.
That was the second one.
That was the second one.
And the Weser.
And the Weser.
The Weser.
Yeah.
The Weser was the first one.
The Weser was the first one, and the other was the second
one. Do you remember much about crossing of those rivers?
No, I don't. Only the Atlas.
Yes.
Only the Atlas.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there was a problem. There was a problem there with the boat once.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
You want to tell us what happened at the Atlas? As far as you can remember.
Well, I crossed with A Company over the Atlas, because the Atlas was quite wide. And I think that was Major, Whiteside then with A Company. And somebody'd gone over in, somebody'd gone over in front and put a rope over, like, you know, so you could grip onto the rope and pull the boat over, see. But I think in, I think that was D Company's problem, I think. It lost its way, like, you know. The boat, they let go of the rope and it just drifted downstream and then the boat capsized.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened there.
So but they lost a few people on their boats?
Yeah, I think, I don't know whether there was 15 or, and one was an officer on there, I think. Yeah, it was a bit.
Well, yeah. That was there much firing coming from the other side of the bank on that?
No, not from the actual other side of the bank.
And you crossed at night, did you?
Crossed, yeah, at night.
Over the Atlas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those boys, those people, by the way, just a little story, because in the regimental book it says that the people that were killed on that boat going over the Atlas drowned.
Yeah.
The bodies were never found.
Never found.
But they were.
Were they?
Because they're buried in the same cemetery that my uncle's buried in.
Well,
buried
all of
in
them.
Becklingdon.
All of them.
Well, it mentions the names in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of those names we found in Becklingdon.
Did you really?
Yes.
I've always wondered about those.
Becklingdon.
And they were found.
They're there.
Ah.
They must have drifted down the river, I suppose, and picked up and put into Becklingdon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, horrible way to go, that. I mean,
yes.
With all your equipment on them.
Yes.
Everything, innit?
Yeah. But on the other side of that river, was there much fighting once you'd crossed that, got over the river? Was there much?
Yeah, there was a lot of fighting there, you know. Yeah, there was a lot.
Do you know who was there or what was going on?
I'm trying to I'll put a passage here somewhere. Because
I know that there were some Marine, German Marine people there.
That's right.
Can I just stop this a second?
Yeah.